Do scents evoke memories and transport you back to being on the beach during your favorite vacation? I know they do for me. Osea's Andaria Algae Body Oil smells like summer or the beach in Aruba, bottled with all natural, uplifting notes of mango, mandarin, grapefruit, lime, and cypress. But it's not just about the elevated scent. This body oil is clinically proven to instantly improve skin elasticity and deeply moisturize, leaving skin silky and soft. It delivers that coveted post-vacation glow, like you just returned from a tropical getaway. And right now, you can get 10% off your first order with our code YOGA at oseamalibu.com. I love Osea's Andaria Algae Body Oil. I use it every single day and I have for so many years. It makes me feel silky smooth and just glowing. This body oil is rich but never greasy and clinically proven to instantly improve skin elasticity. It visibly firms your skin, leaving you more sculpted and toned. No wonder I feel so great after using it. But it gets even better. With Osea, you never have to choose between your values and your best skin. Osea's products are clean, vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified. They are a women-founded company that has been making seaweed-infused skincare for over 28 years. So bring on summer. Get healthy, glowing skin for summer with clean vegan skin and body care at Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code YOGA at oseamalibu.com. You'll get free samples with every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Head to oseamalibu.com and use the code YOGA for 10% off. Welcome, my darlings. It's time for a brand new episode of the Yoga Girl podcast, Conversations from the Heart. I'm sitting here right now feeling so much, so much. It's one of those days today where I was dreading actually recording this podcast just a little bit. And sometimes I do that when I feel like I have no idea what I'm going to talk about. Like when I feel a little bit uninspired or like I'm having a hard time to connect, sometimes I feel like, oh, I don't know what to say on the show. And then sometimes I dread recording a little bit because I don't want it to be a bad or a boring episode, you know. But today I felt that, but for the opposite reason, I was kind of dreading recording this episode because I feel so much. I have so much moving inside. I feel a little bit overwhelmed with emotion and with stories to share, and I actually don't know where to begin. And even as I'm just sitting here right now, I can feel the tears coming already. So I'm happy and grateful that I get to have this space to process and open, and that you're listening to me, which is such a blessing. So thank you for being here. Thank you for listening to this show. So I am getting really close to the end of my trip. I'm still in Costa Rica. It's my last night, actually. As I'm recording this, it's 5 p.m. I'm sitting on the floor in the villa where I'm staying here outside of Santa Teresa in Costa Rica, in the most beautiful place. And looking outside, I see the ocean, I see the surf. It's been raining today. I mean, it's raining season, so it's raining a little bit every day. But today was this heavy, heavy downpour. Anyone who's experienced Costa Rican rain in raining season knows. It's like it can rain here to the point of it feels like the sky has opened up and it's like it can beat you to the ground, like that kind of rain. You step out of the car and you take two steps to go in your house and you're going to be soaked to the bone, that kind of rain. So it rained like that today and the whole town lost electricity for a while, and it's just everything is muddy and just really special. I mean, I love the rain here. I love the raining season here. And it's my last day. It's a 2-week trip, so I have a little trek tomorrow. I take one of those little puddle jumper planes, one of those tiny, tiny, scary little planes, to go to San Jose, the capital, and then I spend the night, because I always have, every time I leave this country, I wake up at 3:30 in the morning to take the red eye home. And it's a 5 a.m. or 5:30 a.m. flight to get to Aruba via Panama. And it's always been like that. It's always been the same. So I have this really interesting just habit of always spending at least a day or two in San Jose on my way in and at least a day or two in San Jose on my way out. and it's in San Jose. I have my chosen family is there. So I have friends and community all over Costa Rica. Costa Rica is, I mean, such a special, special place in my heart. It's my second home more than any other place. It's strange. I feel more at home in Costa Rica than I've ever felt in Aruba. And I've been 11 years in Aruba. It's so strange. I've been contemplating this. I feel so at home here. And in San Jose, you know, San Jose, Chepe, it's the capital of this country. And a lot of people don't really stop to spend time in San Jose. I don't know why. I think because there's so much to explore in Costa Rica. There's, I mean, everyone wants to be in the rainforest and see the cloud forest and the volcano and the beach. And of course, so people kind of hurry through San Jose. Even though San Jose is an amazing city, truly is an amazing city. There's so much culture and food and music and, I mean, places to go and things to see. And just, it's truly a special place. And for me, San Jose is, it's extra special because Andrea, my best friend who passed away, who I talk about all the time, who I write about all the time, who I wrote a book about, you know, I feel like, I think a lot of people who listen to this podcast and who follow me on social media feel like they know her too, in a sense, because there's something about my friendship with her that allows me to tap into this kind of storytelling that is really hard for me to access, actually. It's like writing about her, I can close my eyes and put my, you know, fingers down to the keyboard of my laptop or onto my phone or my journal, and just words just pour out of me. They come pouring out of me. And I do my most channeled writing, you know, where I write and write and write, and I feel like I can write poetry. I mean, I can write another book about our relationship, about her. There's just something so vulnerable there and so raw still. Like even just speaking now, I'm half crying because, you know, I miss her. And she lived in Escazú, which is this part of San Jose. And Escazú is like a small, like actually San Jose is a small place. Costa Rica is a small place. It's kind of like, you know, if you're in Escazú, everybody kind of knows everybody. But so a lot of my friends are there, and sort of this chosen family that I have that all link back to her in different ways. Whether it's friends that I made on my own from different places that then became her super good friends. Like we have family created that way. We have a little family of like, I had my own besties in different parts of the country that for different reasons, like never met each other. It's just one of those, have you ever been in friendships like that where you have like an amazing friend over here and then someone who's like a brother to you over here or a sister to you over here, but it's somehow you're in different worlds. So then these relationships just don't connect. Like that's what I had for years here. And then right as I left Costa Rica and I moved to Aruba to be with Dennis, right after that, like immediately after, finally, they all connected and realized, of course, they were long lost sisters and brothers and became super, super, super close and started spending so much time. And I always felt like I have this little family here, you know. I mean, it's really, it's family to the, in the most sincere sense of the word. And every time I would travel here, you know, I would spend the night or spend a few days or sometimes spend the week and stay in Escazú with Andrea and stay with her family there. For a long time, she lived with her family in their house. And then she got her own little house in the mountains, which was so precious. And she would pick me up at the airport, you know, and that's what we did. And every single person that I know through her, including her family, her relatives, her people, her friends, it's like after she died in a car accident in 2014. But after she died, you know, we are all just incredibly linked. I mean, it's like we are all connected in this really strange way for the rest of our lives. And it's strange because I have some relationships there with like some of Andrea's best friends who really like, I mean, we don't know each other that well, you know, like people who just, like, I met a few times through her, but it's not like I was friends with them. It was like they were Andrea's friends. But after she died, it's like we are, like, we have each other's names tattooed in our hearts somehow. Like, we will always be linked through the love that we throughout our entire lives, you know, shared and felt for her. And it's almost like this web of people in this country and also in other places. It's like I meet people sometimes who met Andrea. I just met her and I know them. You know, it's like we share a bond just because they met her. And people who knew her, it's like we will always know each other in that way. And that grief sort of bonds us in a really strange way. And when it comes to Andrea's family, I mean, her family is my family. I have no, I cannot explain that in any other way. And the reason this is all so present in my heart right now is that last night Andrea's mom passed away. And I want to take just a moment to honor her. You know, Andrea's mom, Doña Patricia. I've never not called her Doña Patricia. Andrea's mom, she was Andrea's favorite person. I mean, and Andrea had a lot of favorite humans in her life. She had so many close friends and people and family and cousins and her sister. And, you know, she had a community. Like, that woman was a community maker. She was loved by so many and she loved so many. But there is no human in this world that Andrea loved more than her mom. I mean, sometimes she would just talk about her mom and cry, you know, because she loved her with so much intensity. And their relationship was so special, especially in the end, like especially in the last year of Andrea's life. We just had so many conversations about her mom. I mean, she would tell me so many stories and just share so much appreciation and so much gratitude for being in a really good place with her mom. And last night she died. You know, and she was a really important person in my life. It's hard to explain because she wasn't my mom, and I have a really complicated relationship with my own mom. And there's no relationship I can compare it to, you know? She wasn't like an aunt to me. It was more important than that, like closer than that. She was like my fairy godmother, abuela, mom, something like soul connected human that just, she was my best friend's mom, you know. And since Andrea died, we, of course, like we became really close and really bonded. And every time I visit Costa Rica, I stop and visit them and see her. And she was ill, she was sick, and over the last few months, I've been really trying to, I had this feeling that she's been sick, and I had this feeling that she just needs some inspiration, you know? She needs some motivation. She needs some joy. She needs like a spark of energy. I don't know. It was almost this feeling like, I don't know, like I could will her to get better. Like someone could will her to get better. I know anyone who's been with someone as they've been ill for a while, or an illness that kind of takes you slowly. In this case, it wasn't so slow. It was way too fast. But you know, that last piece of healing, which really is so anchored in this zest for life, right? This joy to live, this spark, this fight, this inspiration to really, really, really like have the energy to fight another day through something really heavy and hard. And I just felt over these past few weeks and months, like that's what she needs. You know, so I've been sending her songs and videos and little videos and pictures of Leia, you know, and just really, I don't know, I've just really wanted to be there, you know. And I think, I mean, I cannot imagine, I know any parent listening to this, any mother listening to this, I mean, we cannot ever put ourselves in the shoes of a mother who's lost their child. I mean, it's not the way things are supposed to go. It's the wrong order of things. You know, it really is that universal, like I think we can all agree, like, our children are not supposed to die before their parents, you know. And having to live through that, having to live through losing your daughter in such a horrible accident in a horrible way and so unexpectedly, and yeah, I just, it's been a hard 7 years for her.
Sometimes in life, skepticism can serve you well. It can save you money, keep you from wasting a day at a timeshare presentation, and help you avoid spreading gossip. To be honest, when I'm faced with a new scenario, I usually tend to be a skeptic until something proves me wrong. And if you're like me, you can probably spot a too-good-to-be-true health hack from a mile away and read labels like it's your job. That's where Ritual comes in. They know that every good skeptic deserves a multivitamin that exceeds your standards. Their clinically backed Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin has high quality, traceable key ingredients in clean, bioavailable forms. Take 2 delayed release capsules per day that optimize your body's absorption, and you'll get 9 key nutrients. Ritual's Essential for Women is USP verified, so you know you can trust what you're putting in your body. Only about 1% of supplement brands on the market have the USP verified mark, which shows the product contains the ingredients actually listed on the label. On top of that, Ritual multivitamins are vegan, non-GMO project verified, gluten and major allergen free, certified B Corp, and made traceable. I take my vitamins every morning with breakfast. It's part of my daily ritual, and I feel so good doing it. No more shady business. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus is a multivitamin you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month at ritual.com/yogagirl. Start Ritual or add Essential for Women 18 Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/yogagirl for 25% off.
When she got sick, she was saying she really wants to travel. And it's kind of, I've had this feeling that for years it's been so hard, because of course, how can it not be so hard and so heavy for the rest of your life? And then this time when she got sick, she said she's done with this sickness and this illness. She really wants to travel. She wants adventure. And for the first time, I could see that. Like, I could envision that. And I was really like, man, this is the thing. She's going to fight this, and she's going to heal, and she's going to travel, you know? She's going to like really get back this zest for life that I always saw in her, you know, as long as Andrea was alive, this like powerhouse of a woman with, I mean, I've never met a person with more energy or a louder voice, you know, or more strength in her bones than anyone in my entire life. I mean, she was a force of nature, this woman. And of course, when Andrea died, like, it was dimmed, like that light was dimmed. And I saw her in Sweden. I'm like, we're moving to Sweden, and Patricia and her sister, Andrea's aunt, and her cousins, and her, you know, her sister, they're going to come visit us. And I saw it, like, it's actually going to happen. And I envisioned us around a fire laughing together. And I sent her it's a video sharing, like, I'm gonna cook for you. Like, when you get better and you visit us in Sweden, I am gonna cook. Because, okay, so I have to share this story because it brings me so much joy. And it was one of Andrea's and my favorite stories. And I shared it with her in the end, or with Doña Patricia in the end. But so this is many years ago now, but back in the day when Andrea and I were wild and crazy. I mean, we really were wild and crazy. so there we have another friend. So there's another, we had a little trio going for a little while. So me and Andrea and our friend Laura. And Laura is here now with me. She's downstairs making guacamole. And Laura is married since long. She's a, she looks younger than, like always looked younger than all of us, but she's a little bit older and she was married for a long time already. So we used to call, like, Laura was la casada. She was the married one. And I was la macha, which is, I'm the blonde one. And Andrea was la loca, like she was the crazy one. And it really was like that. Like both, we had a lot of crazy in us. And back in the day when we would, you know, like Andrea would pick me up at the airport and we would go out to eat and find the first nearest place to go dance, like right away, or just get in the car and road trip and find the first beach bar where we could like drink some tequila and go crazy. Or when we lived together in Dominical, I mean, we were wild and intense and there were boys. And I mean, yeah, this was, these were the days, these were the years. So one of those trips, it was always so beautiful to, because we lived in Dominical, which is this tiny little, this small little pueblo down south. And both of our houses were so run down. I mean, we really lived in shacks, like actual shacks. Her house was $300 a month. And my house was $500 a month, which was like a fortune. And I had to share it with someone. I had really strange roommates for a while. Like I was talking to Laura about that yesterday. Like I actually walked around down in the town asking people if they wanted to move in with me. Strangers, strange guys, like strange whoever. I needed a roommate because I couldn't afford this house of my own. I mean, I was really like that kind of wild, right? And Andrea lived next door. And I didn't have a fridge in my house, like literally no fridge. Electricity would come and go. It was just a really dirty house. Her house had a fridge, so I would eat from her fridge when I could. But it was the kind of house, like her bottom floor of her house had a dirt floor, like actual dirt floor where it was just dirt, you know. This is how we lived. And it was, everything was kind of gross and dirty and everything smelled, everything was a little musty or mildewy all the time. I mean, I'm pretty sure I brought the mold situation we had at our house in Aruba. Like I brought that from Costa Rica 15 years ago. But so going up to San Jose and spending time with her mom was such a treat. Because it was like a luxury, right? To go home, of course, like go home to your mom after living in these shacks and just like not like having proper food to eat and just being all wild and crazy. And then there, and she would do our laundry and like make the bed super nice. And there's always so much food. I mean, there's always an abundance of food cooked in the kitchen, ready to be had. And Doña Patricia would always like pinch my cheek and like, ah, you have to eat more. Make sure you eat more. Have a little more, you know. And I was vegan already at the time. And that was like a whole concept to like make sense of. But like, what does that mean? You know, and I'm trying to explain like, no, I don't eat meat, you know. Oh, okay. But it's okay. You'll have the chicken. And I'm like, no, like, like I don't eat meat. I don't eat chicken. Ah, okay, fine. Like, I'll make you a ham sandwich, you know. And I'm like, I don't. Ham is me. And Andrea's like, mommy, like she doesn't want this food. Like stop trying to feed her this food she doesn't want to eat. And eventually like she figured out vegan food for me and was always so proud and so happy. Like when she found something vegan or a recipe that was vegan or had made sure she had food at the house that I could eat when she knew I was coming, you know, it was always like going the extra mile. And for us to go there was always like such a treat and go stay in Andrea's room at her mom's house. And then one day, and I can't remember how this happened, but one day we were supposed to go to dinner at some guy's house. I don't know who this guy is. I can't remember, but some people that we had met, we were going to go have like a dinner with, and then we were going to go out dancing. And this was in San Jose. And I had Kila, my dog. She was really little and she was like with us everywhere. And we get to this guy's house somewhere in the mountains, where there's like a lot of people. And for some reason we had decided we are going to cook for everyone. And we were going to make like a curry or something or a stew. I can't remember. Andrea had a recipe she wanted to try. And we decided we're going to cook for everyone. And we get there and this is like a bachelor type house. Like there's no stuff in the kitchen. And there's no pots and no pans. And we had bought all this food and we were supposed to cook and it's like shit. And it was really close to Andrea's mom's house. So Andrea goes, okay, like, let me call mommy. And I ask her if we can borrow a pot. Probably she's not going to want to. She's like, but let me call her and ask. And she called her mom. She's like, hey, mom, can we borrow a pot so we can make this food? And her mom is like, Andrea, no. Stop stealing things from the house and then losing them all over the country. Like, no, if you take a pot from my kitchen, I know I'm not getting it back. So no. You cannot take a pot from the kitchen. This was also typical Andrea's, like losing her shit losing her stuff all the time. I mean, she was really clumsy. She would constantly looking for things, like constantly looking for her car keys, looking for her wallet, looking for her purse. I mean, she just was this like scatterbrain kind of person. So I get that her mom is like, no. And then Andrea and I are like, what are we going to do? And she says, hey, let's go steal it. And we had to like make a plan. We had this full intention to bring this pot back, but we like sat down and planned this devious plan as if we were in Ocean's 11 or something, of like knowing when her mom was going to go like take a shower or be upstairs in her room and how we could sneak in. And if we were really quick and we didn't turn the light on downstairs, we could go into the kitchen and like steal this pot and just sneak out and she would never know. So we actually like get in the car, drive across town, go to her own house, right? Go to her mom's house, like breaking and entering basically into her own house. And we were doing this, of course, like laughing to the point of peeing our pants. Like we had so much fun planning this plan. Like if we had like black spandex and like a ski mask, like we would have put that on. Like we were like going into this complete role of we are now spy ninjas and we're like going to bust this pot out of this house so we can provide for this party, for this dinner party. We go in. Oh, I could just cry because this is just, I remember this so much. We had so much fun like planning this and going to the house and we sneak in and we're super, 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 super quiet. And I had to like be the lookout by the stairs, by the entrance, by the door. And she snuck in. And of course, like on the way there, she like bumps her toe into something and like curses and like, fuck, you know, trying not to curse and trying not to scream. Knocks something over in the kitchen, of course, because like that's who she was. And something tumbles and falls. And there's this moment of like everything getting really quiet and like, fuck, 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 fuck. She's going to know. She's going to hear that we're home. She's going to hear that we're home. And then it's quiet. And Andrea comes and she has the pot. And then her mom opens the door from the top floor. Andrea, matcha, la olla, la olla. Like the pot. No. And she runs down the stairs. And we bust out of the house with a pot. Like, get into the car, rev out of the driveway, and her mom is at the door like, the pot! And Andrea goes, mommy, te quiero tanto, te quiero mucho, I love you so much, I love you. I'm going to bring it back, I promise. Mm-hmm. Just like, ugh. Like, don't be mad, I'm going to bring the pot back. And then we drove off. And Doña Patricia, she was so upset, but she was upset in the way like how she would get upset with Andrea. Like it's upset, but with so much love, you know, because she knows like this pot is probably not going to make its way back to the house, you know. And we go to this place. We have this whole story of like how we got this pot. We cook this amazing meal, feed everybody, have a great time, drank a lot of wine, probably drank too much wine, went out dancing, so-and-so. And then go back because we were sleeping at home, like at Andrea's house with her mom. And then as we get to the house and it's late, right? I mean, we've had some wine. It's late. We get to the house. The taxi drops us off and she looks at me and I look at her and it's like, no, the pot. And of course, we forgot the fucking pot at this random guy's house on the other side of town. And we just don't have it. And we know, like, we're not, like, we're semi-drunk. We can't go back and get this pot. Like, this is not going to happen. So it's like, oh, shit. Okay, we know, like, we're in trouble now, you know. So we sneak in and we go to bed. Sleeping in our bed. And in the morning, literally, we are woken up by a banging on her door. La olla! La olla! Andrea, ¿dónde está la olla? Where's the pot? Andrea, where's the pot? Like, she doesn't say good morning. She's just knocking on the door. The pot, it's gone. That's the, where's the pot? I almost peed my pants laughing. I mean, we're just like in bed dying laughing. It was just this whole, like, this was like a little snapshot into our lives, right? And as I'm remembering this, and then of course we had to go downstairs and like apologize, and already she's smiling. Like, her mom, like, she's pissed. Because we weren't allowed to take the pot. She knew we were going to lose the fucking pot. And now we're home and we don't have the pot. You know, it's like, I told you so. Like, I knew this was going to happen. She's upset, but she's already smiling. She's already made pancakes. Like, there's already breakfast for us waiting, even though she's upset. And she's like, oh, and she's so upset with Andrea. Andrea, you always lose everything. Matcha, how are you? You're so skinny. Sit down, eat some food. Like, I never got in trouble with her. It was always like, Andrea was in trouble, but I, you know, it wasn't my fault. Like, in her eyes, you know, I was like the good one. And I was remembering the story just because I can so vividly like remember sitting in Andrea's bed, almost peeing my pants with laughter, like hungover with this pot, with Andrea's mom waking us up, yelling about the pot, knowing we forgot the pot. Like, we laughed so hard. I was like rolling off the bed. And every time we like reminisce, we would remember the story. We would just pee our pants laughing. Like, this was just so funny to us in so many ways.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Andrea's sister asked a few weeks ago, like, could you share, like, send mommy like a fun story, send her something really funny that like that she's gonna just get to remember to laugh, you know. And I sent her the story in Spanish, and now I've been in Costa Rica for 2 weeks, like, my Spanish is back to fluent, I guess. But when I haven't spoken Spanish in a while, like, it takes me a while to get in the flow of the language, right? So I sent her the story in my like semi-busted Spanish, of just like really remembering this and remembering like how much fun we had, and then sitting around the breakfast table like being scolded about this stupid pot. And I said, I'm like, this soon you're going to be completely healed, and all of this is going to be behind you, and you're going to come to Sweden, and we're going to travel like you said, and I'm going to cook you the best meal in a pot that is yours, because I owe you a pot. Like, I owe you, like, te debo una olla. Like, I owe you a pot. This cannot be your time. No, it cannot be her time, because this cycle isn't completed. And I just really didn't expect her to pass. Yeah. And somehow she did. I don't know. Somehow she did. And it was yesterday morning, because we've had a lot of these moments now, like with Andrea's cousins, and her cousins were more like her siblings. Like, they were all so one organism, you know, all together. And I'm very, very close with them. I love them more than I can explain. And we had dinner when I landed now in San Jose, and everything was stable then, and Doña Patricia was fine, she was in a stable place. And then there's been a few moments of, okay, well, now we need to pray. Now we need to take a moment and really like think of her. And then she would always make it through. She would always be okay. Always. So yesterday morning, when things were bad again, did not occur to me that maybe she would pass. And I sat down at the tea table and I sat and drank tea for 2 hours, and I was trying to talk to Andrea which is, I do that a lot. Like, I talk to her all the time, and sometimes I can have really clear answers back. I don't know if this is normal for everyone. I mean, anyone who's lost someone, I know most people have lost someone they love, right? Not always in this way. Somehow, if it's a grandmother, a grandfather, someone older who's lived a whole rich, full life, like, it's still so painful, and death is always going to be so hard to understand and explain and process, and it's always going to hurt. But there's a different kind of shock and pain that comes when someone is taken from us before their time, right? Like, Andrea was 24, she had her whole life ahead of her, and yeah, it was too soon. And when I talk to her, she answers me. And I don't know if everybody has that. If you've lost someone that you really loved, and you feel like you can reach them. And not always. It's not like every time I miss her or have a question or something, I can just like channel her and there she is. No. But when I need her, she's there. And it's different. Sometimes it's very tangible, like I can hear her speaking to me. Sometimes she comes to me in a dream and I remember the dream crystal clear. Sometimes she comes to me in dreams and I just wake up and I knew I dreamt with her, but I don't know. I can't remember exactly. I just know she visited me, you know. And sometimes it's just the energy, like the feeling, like I ask, almost like I call her, I want her, I need her. And I know she's there and I know she's listening, but I don't always get a clarity of a response, you know. And I don't know if everybody does this with their dead people, but I do. So anyway, so yesterday morning I was sitting at the tea table and I'm praying for her mom and just seeing her, envisioning her whole and shining and full of light and healthy, and seeing her in Sweden, and I couldn't really get to that feeling. It was like something just heavy was blocking the way, in a way. And so I call Andrea. As if I call her on the phone. I'm like, Andrea, okay, I need you now. You know, like, we all need you. Your mom needs you. Your cousins need you. Your aunt needs you. Your sister needs you. Like, everyone needs you now. And you need to make sure she lives. Like, she has so much left to experience. Like, you make sure she lives, okay? Like, help her heal. Like, figure this out. And I didn't get the response I wanted. You know? So already then, I kind of knew. The response I got was, you're demanding the wrong thing. You're asking the wrong thing. You're wanting the wrong thing, as if that's not what's supposed to happen, or as if that's not what she wants. Yeah, maybe it's not what she wanted. And for the rest of that tea ceremony in the morning, I kind of knew. I mean, I'm still really shocked and really surprised, but there was something to that. Like, I just felt that resistance of like, no, you know, you're demanding the wrong thing. Like, it's not for me to demand, you know, for her to live longer and that she has more to experience. Like, maybe that wasn't what she wanted. Maybe she was done, you know. Maybe she was done missing her daughter. Maybe she was done suffering, you know, because grief is suffering. It's suffering. And there's a lot of light in that and joy in that. And I know in the last years, she had a lot of joy and she had a lot of light and she had so much life, you know. But to underneath that, be constantly missing your daughter, you know, I can't envision myself in that place, you know. As a mother to a daughter, it's like I can't, even the just logical, like the thought of what would that be like, I can't go there. It's not possible for me to, like, my heart prevents me from thinking about that. Because I don't know how I would live. I don't know if I would live. And in a way, like now they're together, right? Like now, I was sitting at the tea table just now, and I could still see her around that fire, you know? Like the way I envisioned her sitting around a fire, eating food that I cooked her in her own pot. I could see her around the fire, but I saw her differently. You know, I can see her sitting around the fire next to Andrea with Chicle, which was her little dog that passed, on her lap. And I really saw them together laughing, you know, like mother, daughter, shoulder to shoulder, holding hands together, finally, you know, because it's a long time to be apart. 7 years is a long time to be apart. And as I'm sitting here now, you know, it's not lost on me how strange and not at all strange it is that I'm here. And this is how it's been over the past couple of years, you know. Like when Andrea died, I was in Bonaire. I was supposed to lead a yoga retreat. But when she hit that car on the highway, I, at the same time, same moment, collapsed at the airport. And for the 8 hours it took her to die, I was in the hospital in agony, you know. And I couldn't be there for her funeral. Here, they bury people really quickly. It's part of the faith here. In Sweden, it's totally different. It can be weeks before a funeral, and here it's part of it that you put your dead in the earth, or you cremate, or you have the misa and the funeral, the ceremony quickly. And I had a ruptured appendix. And wasn't allowed to fly, so I missed it. But we were supposed to be in Costa Rica the next week. I was supposed to lead this retreat, and then we were supposed to go from Bonaire to Costa Rica. So I already had the flight. As soon as they cleared me, I was there, you know. And I was already supposed to be there. We already had things booked. We already had a hotel. We already had a car. Like, there was all these things that were just like, well, we were supposed to be here anyway. Like, I was supposed to see her. And then she was cremated but not buried. And her mom decided to bury her ashes kind of quickly. It wasn't something that was decided and planned with a time and a date. And I happened to be here when that was decided. It's like I was here, and then okay, we're gonna put her in the ground. There's gonna be a ceremony. Okay, I'm already here, you know. Didn't have to like book a trip from another country to get here, to be here for that. Like, I am already here. I'm always already here. And a lot of those big moments that have unfolded every year at the same time of something big happening, like I'm already present. Like, no one has to make arrangements for me to make sure I'm there. Like, I'm already here. And now this trip happened on a whim. This is not something I planned for a long time. Like, a few weeks ago, I didn't know I was coming. And now I'm here, and now she passed, and I'm here.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's strange to mourn. It's so strange to mourn people who... It's hard for me to explain. Like, I have a friend of mine. I've just been really sad at the told a friend of mine, oh, Andrea's mom died. And she said, oh, that's so sad. Go light a candle for her. And she says it's so, you know, with so much love. And but she says it as if like, oh, like that's a distant person in someone else's life, right? And go light a candle for her. And for me, it's like, Andrea's mom died. That's not someone I go light a candle for, and that's that, you know? It's much bigger than that. And I can't explain the impact this woman has had on my life. The impact this family has had on my life and this family, how they've suffered. And it's not fair. I really feel that. Dennis was telling me on the phone today, it's just like whoever's in charge up there, like what are they thinking, you know? It's a lot of loss in a small family. It's a lot of loss. And everyone here now, it's like everyone who loved Andrea is now having the same hard time articulating what I'm trying to articulate now. It's like saying goodbye to her mom is a big deal. And in a way, I was thinking now, like if Andrea hadn't died, if she was here, which is how things are, and I'm doing this with air quotes, supposed to be, right? We are supposed to bury our parents, not the other way around. And I had this brief moment of like, oh, but I'm glad she's not here. In a way, I'm thankful she doesn't have to bury her mom, you know, because of how intense and powerful and big her love was for her mom. This would have been so hard. I mean, the way it is for everyone. And it's, of course, triggering a lot of things inside of me with my own mom. And, you know, like I have one that's alive and we can't make our relationship work, you know. And here is this mother-daughter relationship where the daughter passed away. It's all, and I still have mine, you know. I don't know. I feel like a lot of things are not making sense. And also, this country, the people in this country, it is this family. I mean, this small family in San Jose completely changed my life. Like these people completely changed my life. Andrea completely changed my life. And everyone linked to her are a part of that. Anyone who was linked to her will forever be in my heart in this really special place. And I am so sad. I mean, you guys can tell I'm really, really sad. But I'm so fucking grateful. I cannot even explain how grateful I am. And I've been so thinking about this. I spent 11 years living in Aruba. And I feel so much more at home in Costa Rica. Like I come here and I kiss the ground, you know, I love it here so much. There's a part of me that's so rooted and tied to this place. And somehow I ended up living in a place that didn't feel exactly like that. And I'm so grateful I have this little sliver of the earth to call my second home. And that for so many years, I had this mom here, you know, always worrying about me, wondering if I'm eating enough, and how is Leia, and how is Dennis, and when are we coming to visit, and it's so special to have been blessed enough to have a small part in such a beautiful family, you know, and I'm just grateful for this country. I'm grateful for Andrea and her mom, and her cousins and her sister and her aunts, and I'm grateful. It's funny how we don't, you know, we don't get to choose our family, like our blood family, but we get to choose our people. And in this case, I really feel like Andrea chose for me, you know, like if it wasn't for her passing away, I wouldn't have this intensity of connection with these people who I love so much. And yeah, if I could bring her back, I would change anything, do anything. I mean, for a second with her. But if I really look at it, there's a lot of beauty that came out of losing her. I have a lot of friendship and relationship and family now that I was able to, that was kind of chosen by her, you know, for the rest of my life. And these relationships and that love, it was born out of sharing this loss, right? Sharing that grief created a lot of precious things, a lot of precious relationships. So I'm not grateful that she died. I mean, until I, for the rest of my life, I will ask God about that, why that had to happen, because it will never make sense to me. But I'm grateful for the beauty that was born out of that too. So as I prepare to say goodbye to this country, to these people in my life, I want to just leave you with a reminder to love your loved ones and to hold your loved ones and to not take them for granted. And a reminder that if your loved ones are in a place with you that's challenging right now, like I have one of those super challenging relationships, that you can still love them. Even if you're not speaking right now, even if you're distant, even if they're not in your life, you can still love them and share that love and feel that love. You know, that love is just the same. So just love on your people, past and present, here or there. Just love on them. Because things can change really quickly. I'm gonna wipe my tears. You'll let me know how much you want to charge for this therapy session, okay? You guys can all send me your invoices for this therapy, this hour of therapy. I really needed the space to just share and process, and thank you. I'm going to go downstairs, eat some guacamole with Laura. It's a really good reminder, you know, to love on your people while they're still here. Like, fuck, how important that is. And sometimes I feel like I can be a distant friend, you know. I can be very out of sight, out of mind. And to love on our people while they are still here, you know, to not wait until we lose them to go, oh, I should have reached out more. I should have been there more. I should have appreciated them more. Like, do that now. I'm going to go downstairs to one of my people who are here and eat some guacamole and drink a glass of red wine and just spend the rest of this evening in awe and gratitude for this life. And I hope whatever you do tonight, that it's something like that, you know. I love you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'll see you next week.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. And of course, a big thank you to my sponsors. Please support them the way they support this podcast. If you enjoy the show, make sure you give it a 5-star review. That really means the world and makes such a big difference. This has been a presentation of Cadence 13 Studio. Make sure you follow all episodes of the Yoga Girl podcast, Conversations from the Heart. Available now for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, and wherever you normally get your shows. I'll see you next week.